Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 25th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. In agricultural news, the EU weighs in on the U.S. farm bill debate. The finance minister of Brazil wants our Congress to revoke a 54-cent per gallon tariff on ethanol imports, and the National Corn Growers Association is pushing U.S. lawmakers to offer relief to farmers suffering from high input costs. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. USDA released its crop progress reports yesterday afternoon. We'll hear details today from statisticians in the five top corn-producing states in the nation. Oh, by the way, corn planting, as you well know, progressed rapidly last week, with a quarter of the crop now on the ground. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average. Just after the bottom of the hour today, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and we'll learn from him if the planters will keep rolling. Stay with us, won't you? It's a Tuesday. This is WILL AM 580 and the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 350, down three quarters. July futures 360 and a half, or rather 363 and a half, and they were unchanged on the day. May wheat in Kansas City at $4.42 and a half, up a nickel today. May corn futures in Chicago, 231, down a penny and three quarters. July futures at 242 and a quarter a bushel. They were off 2 cents today. September's at 253, a penny and a half lower. And December corn down 1 1/4 at 265 and three quarters for the day. May soybeans 579 and a half, up 5 1/4. July futures a nickel higher at 593 and a quarter. August contract at 598 and a half, up 4 1/2 cents. And November beans 613 and three quarters, they were up 4 1/2 for the day. Bean meal futures May contract 28 higher. One higher at 173.70. The bean oil 28 higher at 24.78. Mercantile exchange numbers $100.60 for the April feeder cattle. They were down 20 for the day. And the April live cattle at 79.75 were off 7.5 cents. May lean hogs down 12.5 cents at $65.40 a hundredweight. Outside markets very quickly. The crude oil at 72.90, down 43 for the day. And the gold trading at 631. Up $10.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,278, off 57 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. He's in for the ill Wayne Nelson today. We hope Wayne gets well very quickly. And thanks much, Mike, for filling in today for him. We appreciate that a lot.
You bet. Thanks for asking us, Todd.
Let me talk to you just a little bit. We had a question from one of our listeners. I wrote in an email and simply said, do you think that the market wants us to plant more soybeans? What do you think?
No, I think probably our mindset is that the market right now is unwinding some of the activity that the funds took on earlier last month. Namely, we see the funds very, very long corn and very, very short beans. And, you know, part of today's closing commentary that we had written out kind of fits into this question. Bean oil and the crude relationship were noted by our contacts in Chicago, as was the short covering by these funds and the beans. A lot in Chicago think the funds are headed towards evening up their positions, and the commitment of traders will show in the next week or two that if for futures only, they're going to be about even. This morning coming in, conventional wisdom says they're between 40 and 45,000 still net short futures only. But our mindset is they see the technicals, they see some of these short-term issues, namely that the USDA has thrown about everything you can at it as far as negativity, and you really didn't break any support levels or technical levels. And they're coming back around saying, well, the corn's getting planted, and we're not going to have to deal with too much of a negative planting number, you know, as far as bean acres growing, at least at this stage. And you've got the bean oil really feeling the positive impacts of crude. So the beans found some support. And, you know, it was interesting to see July beans close 2 cents below their 50-day moving average, and that's the resistance for us. But Nova beans were able to close above both their 50 and their 200-day moving averages. So we might have some pent-up demand and pent-up buying still, you know, carrying over in residual tomorrow.
Tell me about planting of corn in your area.
Well, it's kind of a tale of two cities. We, you know, when I talked to Chuck this morning, he was going to the fields, getting ready to start again. He's probably, I'd guess, 15 to 20% done and couldn't turn a wheel today. And so he was shut out. And yet, I could go to our other partner in Logansport, Kokomo area, Brian, and he's 100% done with corn planting and, you know, enjoying a little rain that he's getting right now and what, on a fresh seed bed. So it seems like that's the way it is all over Indiana and also even all the way into western Ohio. You can call just about any producer and see that same type of scenario. And I would say even in central and southern Illinois, where Sherman is, you can get the exact same effect. There was guys running anhydrous, you know, not too far from him today. Other guys have been out for 2 days straight. So it's a real mixed bag and a real mixed picture, and it makes it harder to talk about marketing when you've got somebody that's either too dry or too wet, you know, versus guys that are making good progress.
Then if you look on the big picture, 25% planted for corn, is that satisfactory to you?
Yeah, it is. You know, we went back and looked at what we did last year when we were going very full out and had good weather, and we had made 16% progress last year between the previous week and a year ago Monday, and we were able to do the exact same, you know, this past year for the same time period. So that seemed to make sense to us.
And then on the soy side of this equation, what are you looking at?
Well, again, we suspect that the market's going to try and come in and buy again, especially if the crude oil prices stay strong and the bean oil has had a very good chart look to it since last week. So our target still is at 6.25 level where we left it on Friday afternoon when you and I talked. We're still looking at 6.25 to get, you know, the balance of our hedges in place for November beans. Again, it goes back to right now at this stage, now that we're in planting, you've got a contract high of 660 in November beans, and you've got a major high in December corn at 275. Those are highs until the market says they're not. And that's, I know that's stating the obvious, but in this kind of an environment with so many factors dancing around in our heads and stuff to have to deal with right now with planting, I guess that's the best way we look at it is, look, those are the highs right now until something changes, and we'll know when that changes because we'll take those levels out on a closing basis, and we'll have to renegotiate and re-look at and tear up our marketing plan if we have to. But right now, those are pretty, you know, strong resistance levels.
At those points, you're saying weather will be the change more than likely. If something
that or the funds grab a hold and shake, you know, the market up like a rag doll in a dog's mouth. I mean, that's really what we're looking at here is we really want to take note of what the outside markets have done this year. They could very easily do that with their buying power and their staying power. They could very easily do that in the grains as well.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and I don't know whether you have these numbers on off the top of your head. Outside markets are how big compared to what trades in Chicago?
Oh, gosh, when you talk about the crude and natural gas, I want to say they're 10 to 12 times bigger on a daily volume basis. And the, you know, the metals and the COMEX would be the same. I think that's what, last time I looked at a futures magazine daily volume, that seems to be, from memory, what they're trading at this point.
I was just trying to get back to the analogy of a dog and a rag doll and the idea that the outside markets really do have a tremendous amount of money compared to what's traded in Chicago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the position limits, I think the position limits on crude oil are 20,000 contracts. So they've got a ways to go on if they want to really move this market.
It's not hard for them to do, is it? All right, tell me about the wheat and crop conditions yesterday and what you see out of Kansas City in particular. They were up a nickel today. Crop conditions still look bad. I think it was, 25% headed, is that right? But that's well ahead of schedule for the hard red winter wheat out in the Great Plains states.
It is. Kansas came in 31% very poor combined versus 23% last week. And the market took note of that on the opening. When I talked to Chicago on the close today, our contact said you've got two big issues being traded on the close here. The KC frost scare is being positioned, and people are getting in position for that in case it does happen, that the plains are going to get very cold here the next night or two. Also, you've got a disparity in the models right now. The Canadian model is showing a drier forecast. The U.S. forecast and model is showing a drier forecast. So you've got a disparity in the models, kind of pre-positioning ahead of that tomorrow because the conventional wisdom going into this morning's opening was what the hard red winter wheat belt didn't get this morning, they're going to get in a couple days and be able to take advantage of it. I would say the people on the ground that we work with out there in Oklahoma and Texas would match up with some of these private forecasts that the crop's done. It's really not going to do much good to get any rain. Kansas can improve if you've got a stand, but even in Kansas, time is dissipating. Our good client in west central Kansas got 0.2 inches of rain. It was 35 or 30 degrees this morning there. So he's not very happy, and he's not very optimistic that he's going to get much of a crop out of this next system.
Yeah, by comparison to that 31%, I think very poor to poor condition for Kansas. Oklahoma and Texas were both 70% in those two categories. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, the only thing we'd say is that July corn did close below its 50-day moving average and now looks like technically short-term-wise with some of these formations that it may want to press itself down to that 233-235 area right where the May contract is, Todd. And we did hear today on the close that the fund liquidation was not just due to the planting progress and the outlook. It was also due to the first notice day coming up at the end of this week. And these spreads really were torn up today. And that's something to take note of if you're still holding the 05 corn. You really want to get that move before the rest of your farmer neighbors do it when they're done planting corn.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks a lot, Todd, for asking us.
Mike Suzzolo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, in today for Wayne Nelson.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Don Day. Just a quick reminder, frost advisory in effect for northern and northwestern Illinois and Indiana overnight tonight. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, the following counties included Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston. A freeze watch in effect for north central and northeastern Indiana late tonight through tomorrow morning. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the chief negotiator for the European Union says the U.S. Congress would be wise not to extend the 2002 Farm Bill. Peter Mandelson says such an extension would throw the Ho-Dul-Ha round into doubt. Yesterday, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley said he would support a joint extension of the 2002 Farm Bill and the Fast Track Trade Authority for a year or longer beyond their 2007 expiration dates. Veteran policy trade sources say Doha Round ag negotiations still have a chance, with the next deadline for the lingering talks either the end of July or until October. Yesterday, the WTO canceled a key meeting this week in Geneva to reach accord on agricultural issues. Brazil's finance minister has asked the U.S. government to revoke its 54 cents per gallon tariff on ethanol. Brazil is the world's biggest exporter of ethanol, shipping 2.58 billion liters last year. Meanwhile, the National Corn Growers Association continues to worry about input costs in the face of rising crude oil prices. Republican congressional leaders are suggesting consideration of a second major energy bill before the November elections. NCGA Public Policy Director Samantha Slater says that timeline is unrealistic.
As far as the mini energy bill or an energy bill 2 being done this year, I don't think either the House or the Senate has the time to pass bills that look alike and that could go to conference.
Lawmakers admit few options can bring short-term relief from surging gas prices. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says producers should use USDA tips on energy conservation.
High energy costs, they affect the economy. There's no doubt about it. And they do affect farmers and they do affect ranchers. So it is something that we put out an energy strategy some months ago, and I really encourage farmers to use it. Proper nitrogen application can make a huge difference. Low-till farming can make a huge difference. There are a number of practices that we can give people advice on that will fit into their to their farms very, very well and save them some money. And that's very, very important.
Pressure is growing on President Bush to tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as a way of increasing oil supplies and lowering prices. And the Commodity Futures Trading Commission says it will take a look at possible market manipulation by traders and energy firms that might be causing price spikes at the gas pump. Meanwhile, President Bush is instructing the Justice Department, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Energy Department to enforce laws relating to price gouging. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report in Commodity Week. Well, up next, our crop progress reports from the National Agricultural Statistics Service offices in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. USDA reports 25% of the corn crop is now in the ground nationwide. That trails last year, but is the second quickest corn planting season on record. Not enough soybeans are in the ground yet for USDA to report a national average there. The winter wheat crop is ahead of schedule, though, as you've heard on this program, that isn't necessarily a good thing. 26% of the crop is headed with the biggest strides in the most drought-prone areas of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. The crop condition ratings for those three states clarifies that statement. More than 70% of the wheat in Texas and Oklahoma is said to be in very poor to poor condition. 31% of the Kansas crop lands in those two categories. Now, here are the state statisticians with our reports from the Midwest.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on the weather and crop report for the week ending April 23rd. Warm, sunny weather during the week allowed farmers across much of the state to make good corn planting progress. Temperatures averaged from 4 to 6 degrees warmer than normal during the week, and precipitation was quite variable depending on location. Many farmers in the Eastern District received heavy rains early in the week, and field work there was limited to about 2 days. In contrast, areas like Mason County, where irrigation is common, saw fields being irrigated in an effort to provide enough moisture to sprout the corn. Where corn planting is the most advanced in western Illinois, some farmers are wrapping up corn planting and switching to soybeans. Corn planting advanced by 25 percentage points to 33% complete. This trails last year's record pace of 60% and the 5-year average of 39%. To put the 25 percentage points in perspective, that equates to 2.9 million acres planted statewide in the 5 days which were suitable for field work. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn planting was once again the West Southwest District at 74% complete. Soybean planting was just getting underway last week at 1% complete, compared to 2% last year and 1% for the 5-year average. The winter wheat crop continued to mature with 3% of the crop headed. That compares to 1% last year and 1% for the 5-year average. Condition of the crop showed some improvement from last week and was rated as 2% poor, 24% fair, 56% good, and 23% excellent condition. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office.
Hello, I'm Greg Preston, State Statistician for Agriculture in Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending April 23rd. Warm and breezy weather this week dried soils from the early April rains enough to allow farmers to begin tilling fields. Corn planted is currently 5 days behind the average pace at this time and 8 days behind last year. Only very few soybean fields have been planted. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 3% short, 66% adequate, and 31% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 6% short, 71% adequate, and 22% surplus. Precipitation for Indiana averaged from a low of 0.36 to a high of 5.36 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 82 degrees to a low of 33. There were 3.1 days rated as suitable for field work across Indiana, compared with 4.2 days last year. 9% of the intended corn acreage was planted, compared with 33% for last year and 20% for the 5-year average. Some early planted corn fields have emerged. By area of the state, 9% of the corn acres were planted in the north, 5% in central Indiana, and 15% in the south. Looking at winter wheat, 54% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage, compared with 60% last year and 61% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated as 80% good to excellent, compared with 72% last year at this time. Let me thank the reporters across the state who provide this information. This is Greg Preston reporting from the USDA NAS Indiana Field Office. Thank you.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director with the USDA National Ag Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 23, 2006. As fields dried towards the end of the week, field work kicked into high gear. Some farmers have completed their corn planting already, while others have just gotten started. Scattered reports of soybean planting were received. Farmers are avoiding any unnecessary field work due to high fuel and input costs. There were 5 days suitable for field work, compared to 2.7 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 27% adequate and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 62% adequate and 8% surplus. Soil moisture levels were nearly identical to this time last year. Corn planted reached 26% compared to 15% last year and the five-year average of 16%. 23% of the state's corn crop was planted during the week last week. Southwest and southeast Iowa planted over a third of their corn acreage. Oat seedings were 85% complete, with 30% emerged, behind last year's progress of 91% seeded and 56% emerged. The five-year average is 34% emerged. Primary seed bed preparations were 63% complete, compared to 68% last year and 64% for the five-year average. Fertilizer application at 82% matched last year and were 6 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Range and pasture conditions improved marginally. Some pasture conditions concerns remain due to after effects of last year's dry weather. This has been Brad Parks with the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Thank you.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending April 23, 2006. The combination of high winds, especially in the panhandle, and no precipitation dried soils and allowed farmers to advance spring field work. Producers made excellent progress planting corn with nearly the full week available for field activities. Corn planted was 16% complete, with a few fields beginning to emerge. This is ahead of last year at 8% and the five-year average of 11%. Wheat conditions were rated as 54% good or excellent. Alfalfa conditions rated 73% good or excellent. Oats planted was at 87%, while 35% had emerged. Sugar beet planting was at 49% complete, ahead of last year's 42% complete. Pasture and range conditions rated 57% good or excellent, better than last year's conditions. Spring calving was 93% complete, same as year ago. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending April 23, 2006. Field work and planting progress was ahead of the five-year average as warm temperatures dominated the week's weather. Producers worked around wet areas to continue field work preparation and fertilizer applications. Topsoil moisture supplies in the northwest, southwest, and south-central areas of the state were still mostly surplus. The average temperature for the week was 51.9 degrees, 6.5 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of April 21st were rated 2% very short, 6% short, 69% adequate, and 23% surplus. An estimated 16% of the spring wheat acreage was planted as of Sunday, compared to 12% for the same date in 2005 and 18% for the five-year average. Oats planted was 44% complete, compared to 28% a year ago and 29% for the average. Barley was 19% planted, compared to 12% last year and 11% for the average. Corn planted was 12% complete, compared to 3% last year and 9% for the average. Green peas plantings was 19% complete, compared to none last year and 10% for the five-year average. That's the weekly crop weather. For the week ending April 23, 2006, I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A state agriculture department lab in Galesburg has become the first in Illinois to be certified to test for bird flu. The division manager for food safety and animal protection says being able to do those tests in Galesburg will help to slow the spread of the disease if it reaches Illinois. Dr. Colleen O'Keefe says in the past, samples would have been shipped to a federal lab in Ames, Iowa, and taken up to 2 weeks to process. But she says the Galesburg lab will be able to make a determination within hours. Illinois Auditor General William Holland says he's found more management problems at the State Department of Central Management Services. Holland says those issues range from paying potentially improper expenses to awarding contracts without following procedures. Indianapolis-based MicroVote General Corporation expects its voting machines to be certified by the state before next week's Indiana primary. MicroVote General had installed unapproved software in 47 Indiana counties, but the company said yesterday the software had passed testing by an outside lab, which could clear the way for certification. Company President James Reese says the testing showed that all votes will be accurately counted. Critics say Chicago Congressman Bobby Rush's relationship with a nonprofit group presents a conflict of interest. The group received $1 million from one of the nation's largest phone companies, while Rush is a key player on telecommunications issues in Congress. He denies any conflict. Chicago Mercantile Exchange Holdings says first quarter net income is up 29%. CME's first quarter net income rose to $91.4 million, or $2.61 a share. The results announced today fell short of Wall Street expectations, and CME's average rate per contract, an important measure of profit margin, slipped modestly. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. A frost advisory in effect in northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana overnight tonight in the WILL severe weather coverage area. The following counties are included: Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston. A freeze watch in effect as well for north central and northeastern Indiana late tonight through tomorrow morning. Joining us now to take a complete look at the weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Cold this evening in the Midwest.
Boy, definitely. And the trend is going to be cooler. While we don't see severe cold, we do see temperatures on the average below normal over the next week to 10 days. Temperature readings will be cooled by a series of systems that will keep rain chances fairly high over the next week or two. So precipitation chances look good. Just don't expect summertime temperatures anytime soon, although we are going to get back two temperatures that'll be well up into the middle 60s by the end of the week and the weekend.
Paying for those above normal temperatures we've had over the last couple of weeks.
Mother Nature has a great tendency to even things out in the long run.
Yes, it does. Tell me about the forecast then.
Well, as we head on into the next 7 to 10 days, we're going to see a fairly active weather pattern across the United States, a fairly typical one leaving April and heading into early May. Now, there is a little bit of news for some of the southern plains. While it won't be widespread rain, it does look like the Texas and Oklahoma panhandles, maybe even southwest areas of Kansas and southern Kansas and most of Oklahoma, have some higher chances of rainfall coming in this week and later this weekend. So areas that really need it look like they're going to get some precipitation amounts. They're not enough to get them back up to normal, but it will be something to watch as we get into the weekend.
And anything to add about forecast for other agricultural growing regions around the globe?
Well, around the globe, if we go to South America for remaining harvest operations, looks like dry weather for many areas of Argentina and Brazil. It looks like we'll be watching the Monica hurricane hitting the north coast of Australia. We're going to see what kind of damage that may do to some of the northern areas, though it is skirting the coast, hopefully missing out some of the key areas there.
We appreciate you being with us today, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Somebody from his office, usually him, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
For For Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you want to pick something up from the ag programming, visit our website at willag.org. Have a good afternoon.